This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Andy Keener on the line from Wycliffe, USA. And we're going to be talking about the pandemic. This is really, it's affected life in so many ways. Is there, it's a good thing I can edit this. The coronavirus pandemic has affected life in so many ways, and today Andy and I are going to talk about how it's affecting Bible translation. And Andy, I imagine that the situation is different in each location, but in some, I would imagine the Bible translation work can transition online. Is that the case?
Yeah, most of our Bible translation work is done in collaboration with local churches or local Bible translation agencies and other partners. And so it really does vary from place to place all over the world. But there is a lot that can be done online, a lot of international connections where travel might have been needed can now be done online. One of the big challenges is it's not just that those of us here in the United States and other Western countries have been locked down, but where the work is, many of those folks are locked down. And to be honest, not all those folks have internet at home, so it can be a challenge.
Sorry, my mute button got stuck. You're leading perfectly into my next question, which is about, the biggest challenges. We've been hearing from other people, other partners that, some of their Bible translation teams are going without basic needs because they can't get it, food and that kind of thing. Are you guys hearing of that?
In some of the places where we have staff working, our Wycliffe USA staff, we encouraged them early on to make sure that they could stock up and have the supplies they needed. That can be more challenging for some of our local staff that are, the actual translators that are doing the day-to-day work there, the local pastors that are involved. For many of them, they're in lockdowns that don't have the freedom to necessarily get out. So some of them are struggling. We do what we can where we have connections to be able to help in those circumstances. But in some places, the lockdowns that we have in the States, they would say, wow, they're much more strict in our country than they are in yours. So it can be a challenge for some folks.
And where are some of those biggest challenges coming up? Are you allowed to say the locations? We don't want to put any security things at risk, but if you could just describe where some of those challenging places are, and what besides food, what other challenges are people facing?
One of the biggest challenges that we've seen, and this is all over, I've seen it in various places in Latin America and Africa and in Asia, where there are countries with very strict lockdowns. I spoke to a friend who was involved in a project where we worked years ago in Panama. He was one of the translators there, and he said, men are allowed out 1 hour per day on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Women are allowed out 1 hour a day on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And they're very limited in how far they can go from the house just to pick up basic necessities. So they're not able to work, make an income, and they can only get out. And one of the biggest challenges, and this is around the world, is some of the older folks, it's even harder for them getting around and doing it in those short amount of time, Maybe they have a child or a grandchild who regularly helps them and now isn't able to make their way there. So those are some of the things that they're facing, and it really is a global thing.
What do Bible translators need most right now?
Really, I'd say that there's a need for people to be patient. There's a need for them to fear can be an ever-present thing. Most of us here in the States, many people are dealing with fear of the illness and what could this mean for me or for my parents or those that are weak among us. In some places, there's fear of civil unrest. When things don't go well, they don't just get out and, yell and scream, but there can be violence in some places. And so we have precautions for our folks to make sure that we're keeping up to date on what's happening in the local community. So freedom from fear of all sorts. I will tell you, though, that in the midst of this, even though there are so many things that people need and need to be careful of, one of the things that we encourage people is look at this as an opportunity for how can we serve in this current environment. So creativity is something that is a real big need for our people. Just to share one little example, we've heard of some of the sign language Bible translation teams. These are deaf people who are doing Bible translation on video in national sign languages. Some of them have said, the deaf aren't getting the message in our country about COVID-19. They don't know about hand washing and social distancing and masks. And so they've stepped back for just a brief period of time from doing their Bible translation, and they're recording videos that can be sent out explaining to deaf people how to follow all of the national guidelines. And so it's really neat to see that sort of creativity coming into play using the video studio and the talent that we have there, the people who are good at doing translation, now shifting over to do something to meet a present need. So that creativity is something we really would ask people to pray for our folks.
We definitely will pass that on. And part of the reason we talk about challenges is to get those prayer warriors mobilized. Talk about, I don't know if you can or not, but just this task force kind of thing that Wycliffe has, you're part of that, and kind of how you guys work and how we can pray for you in the days ahead.
There are really two areas of focus. Wycliffe has a good number of people that work out of our headquarters in Orlando, Florida. We have several hundred people that work in the offices there normally every day. And then we have people who work with partner organizations all around the world. On the first part, there are folks that are basically based there in Orlando. We were early adopters of let's close down the office, have only the most essential people. And so about 90% of our staff or more stopped coming into the office and worked remotely for a time. As Florida moved into their phase one of reopening, we sort of inched forward in that. We're trying to do all of the things within our building to keep people safe and follow all of those state and local guidelines there. And so in that area, it's knowing what the next right steps are to take, not moving too quickly, but coordinating well with mainly our local officials there to make sure that we're complying with things, but also doing everything we can to keep our people safe. Around the world, the role of our task force is really to connect with our partners. We have people serving in countries all over the world with different organizations in each place, and each of them have their own challenges and their own local situation. In some places, they're very remote and people weren't all that affected. There's not a lot of coronavirus there, and yet their countries are being very cautious. They don't want it to sweep through their country, so they're doing all sorts of things. And so We're looking to make sure that our highest risk staff, those that are older or have particular illnesses that would make them more susceptible to this or put them in more danger, that they have really good access to medical care, and that we're taking special care for them. At the same time, looking at all of our staff to make sure that people are in a good position to first be safe, second, be able to continue to serve the community that's around them. So those are our two main focuses.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And that wraps up my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
I'm not sure that there is. I was thinking through that I really wanted to be able to share that some of those things that we're being able to do now, like that story with the deaf doing videos for how to deal with COVID-19, The challenging part is that there have been places around the world where the deaf didn't get the message because they couldn't listen to the radio, and apparently no one told them, and they would go out and effectively be violating curfews. And the police in many places weren't particularly understanding of why someone was out. They would just grab them and throw them in jail. And it was only later that they figured out they were deaf and didn't know the rules. So our folks finding ways of serving those around them, whether it's with food, whether it's with helping connect people to medical care or information, is often a real key thing. So I kind of shared that in the other, but I think that's great.